Now, if you have a Bible, we're going to be centering around Ezekiel 47 this morning, which is one of my most favourite passages in Ezekiel. Most of Ezekiel you can barely understand because it's all this incredible imagery, but this stuff I really, really like. Oh, yes, I should mention, don't forget to socially distance. Don't forget also we have the app. If you don't have the app, please see us afterwards. We'd love for you to get that on your phone because we're going to be centering a lot of things around that app, and it's great to have it there. Lots of stuff happening, events and all that sort of stuff. And don't forget the Sparks every day on Facebook for you. There'll be a new bunch of those coming out this week. So it's 2021, and after 2020 we had the big reset. Everybody kind of was struck, a few people were struck down with this virus, but everything, of course, went into overdrive and it went into shutdown. Even just last week, Brisbane was locked down. And as I said last week, it's better to be locked down than be locked up. So, some folks were locked down back there. But, you know, we're dealing with this problem, and people looking forward are quite negative about what's going on. But I think we should dive into 2021, don't you? I mean, I don't want to sit around wondering. I want to dive in. How many of you have ever done that off a boat in Thailand or somewhere like that? You see, we live in a world.
Don't forget one thing by diving in, by the way.
Yes? Some of us do. Others of us just dive. So we live in a world that is increasingly desperate. We live in a world without hope. And if you look at the news bulletins, you'll realise that. On December the 17th, 1927, this submarine here, the USS S-4, was sunk off Massachusetts. There were 47 people on board. There were 6 people who survived the initial sinking of this submarine, and it was sitting on the ocean floor, and the 6 of them were trapped in the forward torpedo room with the only air that was available just in that forward torpedo room. Now, as the rescue divers approached, they heard some tapping from the stricken vessel, and it turned out that the survivors sitting out there running out of air were tapping in Morse code, "Is there any hope? Is there any hope?" over and over again. Sadly for those sailors, there was no hope. They went to an undersea grave. They couldn't get them out. But our society right now is tapping out those words. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Because we live in a nation and a world, really, that is devoid of hope at the moment. If you look around at our society, people are so confused and they're without hope. See, everything's changed over the last little while, hasn't it? Time-honored rules of morality have been thrown out. We are told now that we are not allowed to have an opinion, not even an opinion if it differs to what the government and the media says. We are told that life is so precious that we have to do lockdowns and wear masks, but the same people who make those laws are decreeing laws that are murdering babies as we speak. Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of them. We are told that young people... we tell our young people to change partners, change preferences, change sex. They should be more free. They are more confused than ever because we are creating this environment of complete lack of hope. In fact, Australia in 2021 is full of fear. It's devoid of hope and it's dying of spiritual thirst. Yet we as Christians, we have the water of life. Did you know that? We don't talk about this much, but we should. I believe there is water of life flowing through us for our sunburnt country. I don't know if you remember back to school days. How many of you remember school? There was a quintessential Australian poem. There you go. Dorothy McKellar wrote this. I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of rugged mountain ranges, of drought and flooding rains. I love her far horizons. I love her jeweled sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. I love that. I'm an Aussie. I love that. It's like gum leaves. It's awesome. But there's a lot of truth in that because we live in a nation that is forever in drought or flood. And we've seen drought right across our nation. We might have a bit of rain here, but there's drought right across our nation continually. But spiritually, our nation is dying of thirst right now. And coming off 2020, what I've found is that coming into 2021, there is so much negativity about the future. I've said to people, hey, it's a new year. I want to forget 2020. Let's move on to 2021. And they're saying to me, oh, there's going to be more lockdowns, more restrictions, more fear. See, Aussies are tired, they're fearful and they're jaded and they're parched and they're thirsting for relief and hope. They're asking us, they're saying, they're tapping out to us. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Well, I'm here to tell you that there is hope in 2021, and his name's Jesus. You know, they've tried everything out there. They've tried politicians and they got legislated out of all existence with conflicting laws and double standards. I was telling someone during the week, this is where our lawmakers are at, okay? You were not, up until recently when they changed the laws yet again. If you're a parent, you're not allowed to stand on the sideline of a football field and watch your kid play football. But they can put 52,000 people in Suncorp to watch the professionals do it. Where's the standard? There isn't any. That's exactly right. So people turn to politicians, nothing there. They turn to the media, they get nothing but sensationalism, fear and more bad news. They're tired, they're thirsty, they're without hope. But we as the church, we should have the hope within us. You see, the trouble is most Christians I know are not living that hope. Many Christians I know, they're in the same boat as everybody else. They're fearful. They're scared looking ahead. They're full of fear. They're under pressure there, or they're full of regret. And again, they're without hope. But our nation is spiritually dying of thirst, and we have the water of life. In John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39, Jesus said this. Now, he was at a feast. They were running through the halal, which is a Jewish tradition there. There was water flowing, and he stood up on the last day of the feast, and Jesus said this, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." This he said of the Spirit. See, we have that Spirit within us. We have the Spirit of life within us. We have the water of life within us. But the question, and excuse the pun, but I'm quite punny, the question is, what are we going to do about it? Psalm 46 verse 4 says this, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God." And you'll see there is a theme running right through Scripture about this incredible river that runs through the city of God, that will eventually run through the city of God in heaven. As believers, we have access to a river of life flowing from the very throne of God with refreshing water. We can break the spiritual drought in Australia that Australia faces right now. As Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again." The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life. So this stuff is fine. Fiona and I are starting a diet. We've got to drink 3 litres of this a day. And this stuff's fine. Makes you go rusty. I think it might. I think I'm already there. That's fine, but it will never sustain you forever. Jesus said, if you drink of his water, it will sustain you forever. This is... It's a personal truth, but it's also true on a national level. In the book of Isaiah 44, verse 3, it says this, "For I will pour water on a thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing upon your descendants." That was a prophecy for Israel, but it holds true for any nation that honors God, because he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And if we're honest, the reason... that we don't see his spirit poured out on all flesh is because we don't want it bad enough. Is that true? I believe it is. We say we want it, but we don't really want it bad enough. We say we want revival, but we're not prepared to pay the cost. We don't want to buy a Rolex. We'd rather go down to the markets and buy a $20 fake. And it'll tarnish and that sort of stuff. But we're thinking, well, you know, we don't have to outlay all the money. We're always thinking about what can we get for the cheapest possible price. But the fake Rolex, which is on this side, looks the same when you start. Does anybody here have a real Rolex? No, I don't either. But they look the same. But the problem is, over time, you realize that one is genuine and the other is fake. I believe that this is our moment. With such a great need and a thirst in our nation, this is our time to shine. But country club Christianity is over. It won't cut it anymore. It's time for us to stand for what is right and true, and time for us to dive into the river of God this morning. Psalm 107 verse 2 says this: "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And for too long, we've not been saying so. We've been quiet. We've been curled up in the corner. We've been conforming and all that sort of. But I believe it's time for us to stand up and say so, don't you? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. You know, I was in the US one day and I saw a red Ferrari. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but they are really nice. They are really nice. And I looked at that and I said, man, that is a nice car. I mean, it's a really nice car, and apparently goes quite fast as well, which is a bonus. Not that you do, but, you know, Fiona says you speed everywhere, and I say, well, I don't. I just don't slow down for corners. But you know. But I saw this red Ferrari, and I said to the person with me, I said, that's a beautiful car, but I can't afford it. And then God spoke to me, and he said, you can. I can afford a Ferrari if I sell my car, Fiona's car, if I sell our house, probably a business, maybe a child or a grandchild, we could definitely afford a Ferrari. The truth is, I don't want it that bad. I don't want a Ferrari that bad. It's nice, but I don't want it, right? I don't want it bad enough. And I wonder for us as believers, if we really want the presence of God bad enough, are we prepared to pay any price? Some of us are. Some of us are not. Some of you old timers here will remember a song which went like this: "There is a river and it flows from deep within." Who knows this song? A few of you. "There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry." We don't sing that song very often these days, but it's not a bad thought. There is a river. And so this morning I'm going to center in on that river. The river is actually featured in the book of Revelation when it talks about the new heaven and a new earth. And it says this in Revelation chapter 22. It says this: "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life." The river of the water of life. This is the river we're talking about. Runs right through Scripture. Bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city, and also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. Wouldn't it be cool to have a tree that gave you a different fruit every month? Or a bunch of trees. Oh, it's the nectarine month. Oh, it's the, you know, that would be really cool. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Isn't that interesting? That the leaves of the trees, not the fruit, the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. You see, this river carries with it life. And the reason our culture is drying up so much is that there is no spiritual water flowing from the sanctuary into this world. See, we aren't going to get the water flowing down the streets of our communities bringing life where there is death until it begins to flow down the aisles of our churches. If God's presence doesn't show up among his people, how will he show up in the neighborhoods of this world and in the nation? It's God's chosen to use the church, you and I, to bear this standard and to have this river running through us. Revelation 22:17, a little bit later in that chapter, says this: "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price." See, it doesn't cost you anything, but it costs you everything. Does that make sense? And I believe that God is looking for people to carry this river and flow with this river to reach our nation for Christ. It's the same. Jesus spoke of it as being the Holy Spirit. He said there's a river that is the Holy Spirit, and when you drink of it, you never will thirst again. We know we have it. If you're a believer, you know you have the Holy Spirit. You know you have this river within you, but we don't always live that way. So my question to you this morning is, do you want to play in the shallows or do you want to go deep? Because I believe this is a new year. It's a great time to go deep, don't you? Psalm 63, verse 1, I love what David says here. This has always spoken to me a lot. Because David, if you know King David, he was a guy who made lots of mistakes. He committed adultery, he committed murder, he blew it, took a census when he shouldn't have. He made a lot of mistakes. But God loves him because God, the way God described him was, he's a man after my own heart. What does that mean? It means that he was, when he was on song, he was totally 100% devoted to the Lord. Listen to Psalm 63, verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. We live in a dry and weary land where there is no water. We live in a culture where there is no water, but we can still thirst for God in our culture. We really can. So my question to you this morning is, do you really want God? I mean, really want him? Do you long to bless him? Do you long to make him happy? Do you long to live totally for him? We choose, you and I choose how we're going to live in 2021. So are you going to plunge into the depths, or are you going to play in the shallows? So let's look at Ezekiel chapter 47. Because that's, well, let's set it up. I'll let Ezekiel take over here. It says this. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Verse 3, going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. Lord, I pray that you would just give us insight as we look at this river of God, Father. I pray that you will give us insight that we might plunge into the depths of relationship with you, we ask in Jesus' name. You know, this river speaks of a healing, healing for the nations, a life-giving power of the Holy Spirit. And no matter how deep you go with God, there's always somewhere deeper that you can go. The tragedy is that many of us in church are content to linger in the shallows. We've all done it. Some of you are still doing it. You know, it's the way we're wired. We're just thinking, well, I don't want to overcommit. I remember when I first started dating Fiona, her mum looked at us and they said, you guys are religious fanatics. And she said, I hope you grow out of it soon. Well, it's a number of years later and we still haven't grown out of it. I like, hallelujah, exactly right. I like being that. When someone thinks I'm that, because what they're saying is you are passionate. You are total, you know, and we are passionate for the gospel. We want to see God do things. It's a tragedy that many of us don't do that. Where you live depends entirely on you. I'm not going to throw you in the deep end. You have a choice. What are you going to do as you face 2021? Where are you going to play? Ankle, knee, waist, or above your head where you can't touch the bottom? So let's have a look at these. First of all, ankle deep. Now, those living in ankle deep, you've all stood on the ocean or at a river and you've been ankle deep, haven't you? And you know what it feels like. Those living on the shoreline only ever wet their ankles. They are saved, but they've dipped their feet in. But most of their flesh is completely untouched by the water, by the Spirit of God. Ankle deep living is a life lived where we are mastering our own actions and reactions. Ankle-deep water won't sweep you away. You don't sit there worried that you're going to get taken out in the current when it's ankle-deep, do you? At ankle depth, the waters of God's Spirit are too shallow to control us. But the other grave danger, as you probably realize, if you've ever seen a river, particularly a tidal river, the other grave danger is that when you're playing the shallow end, that's where all the muck is pushed by the tide. So an ankle-deep believer believes he is living in the mess. You know, he believes he's living with God because he's got his feet in the water, but he's living in the mess of carnality. He makes a decision for Christ, but he's never set free from gossip and arguing and night clubbing and drinking and smoking. All those things continue to control his life. The next level, of course, is knee deep. Everybody say knee deep. Now, at knee deep, it's again very easy. You know, you can feel a little bit of a tug. It's easy to sort of step out of the flow. It's not too hard. You can feel a little bit of the tide drawing you, just a little, but you can easily resist it. However, the knee-deep saint, When you're up knee deep in the things of God, you love to look back at the guy who's only ankle deep and say, well, at least I'm not like you. Why don't you get in here, mate? But you're only knee deep. And we've all done it. There's a sort of a spiritual pride comes in. The next level is, of course, waist deep. Now, that's where it's starting to get a little more interesting, because the Christian who is waist deep is more faithful. They're not living in sin. They're turning up to church regularly, but they're still living in their comfort zone. There's a definite and noticeable tug. Have you ever been out in the surf and you're sort of waist deep and you can feel the current just pulling you around? You ever experienced that? So there's a definite tug there, but the problem is you can still resist it. And we resist the prospect of being all in. We see others as shallow and ourselves as deep. This is where many people in churches across the nation are at right now. They're just sort of waist deep, you know, and they feel they're certainly wet. There's certainly a bit of a tug. They come to church, they feel a bit of a tug towards the things of God, but then they walk out the door and ignore him for the rest of the week because they don't want to get too, you know, fanatical about it. But many of the people who are waist deep are often legalistic. They have religious pride. See, when you're wet to a degree, you look committed, but underneath, you're still not yielded because you cover it up with Christianese and good works and that sort of stuff. And you're sitting there and the tug's there and you're just resisting it all the time. Of course, the fourth level is deep enough to swim. This is where the current of the river actually carries you along. When you yield completely to the control of the Holy Spirit, rather than trying to entertain and indulge the flesh, rather than pridefully looking at others, you're just more content on just following the Lord and going with the Holy Spirit. And I know there's many of you in this room are exactly in this spot. Some of you have come to me and said, look, 2021, I don't care what it takes. I just want to be involved in serving Jesus. I just want to serve him. And if that's you, God bless you. You are in the right spot because I believe that we're going to have an incredible year coming up and amazing opportunities for you to step in and serve the Lord. At this level, of course, you don't hold back. You don't play religious games. You're totally all out for Jesus Christ. These are the people who changed the world, and many of you are in this place, as I said. Smith Wigglesworth had a comment, and I like this. This was his summing up of this whole area. He said this: all of me, none of God. Less of me, more of God. None of me, all of God. And we need to be there. But this river brings you life. This is why you want to be involved. The Ezekiel passage shows what the river actually causes. If you go further on in Ezekiel 47, verse 7, it says this: as I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on one side and the other. Sounds a bit like the passage from Revelation, doesn't it? Trees on the side. And he said to me, when the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be many fish. For this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. So obviously the sea is salt water. But what it's saying is when the river of God hits the salt water, it becomes fresh. Isn't that incredible? Now, the word for fresh there is a really interesting one. It's the Hebrew word translated as rapa is the Hebrew word, which means to heal, restore, and repair. So the river of God doesn't just bring blessing, it brings healing. Healing for the nations. We saw that in the other passage. You see, the river of God brings restoration. How many people are dying out there in our community longing to be restored? They're out there, they're just parched and they're fading away. But if this river of God can pick them up and carry them away, their life will be restored and their relationships and everything about them will begin to be healed. Ezekiel 47 then goes on in verse 11 to say this: but its swamps and marshes will not become fresh, for they are left to be salt. You see, if you are in an area where the river does not flow, if you are playing in the shallows, it stagnates and becomes a swamp, a mozzie-infested cesspool. This chokes the life out of you. If you play in the shallows, you just become dirty, filthy, stagnant water. You're not the water of life at all. You're just wet. And if you stay in the shallows, you will not bear fruit. I don't know if you know much about rivers. I don't. But I know this looks really healthy, doesn't it, along here? But there are some places where everything just dries up and dies for whatever reason. And especially if you look at a place like the Dead Sea, where it's got this huge salt content and nothing lives in the Dead Sea in Israel. Nothing. Birds won't even fly over the Dead Sea. It is dead. And so you don't want to be there, because Ezekiel goes on, shares the next verse, verse 12. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month. Sounds like the passage in Revelation, doesn't it? Fresh fruit every month because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves will be for healing. You see the thing, how things are wrapping in here? See, there is a river of God. And one day it will flow from the throne of God through heaven. And those of us who will be there will love that river, because it brings life and it brings joy and it brings fruit and all these great things. But we don't have to wait for pie in the sky when you die by and by, because the river of God is flowing right now by the Holy Spirit who lives within us. The same fruit, the same blessing, the same joy. The river of God brings life and fruitfulness. So if you want to bear fruit for the Lord in 2021, you cannot dip your toe in the water. You have to dive in. My favorite psalm is Psalm 1. I love Psalm 1 and Psalm 23 are my favorite psalms. Psalm 1 says this in verse 3, talking about the righteous man. Says this, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in seasons and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Isn't that a cool thing? Wouldn't you like to have that said about you? That everything you did prospered because you did it for the Lord. So I believe 2021 is a great time to go with the flow, don't you? Not go with the flow of society, but go with the flow of the Holy Spirit. And I'm again, now we've done this for a few weeks now, but I just want to keep hitting it at the moment, because I want to call you to commit to the Lord afresh in 2021. I want to call you to getting serious with the flow of His Spirit in 2021, making this year the best year ever. You see, you can do a lot of stuff in your life. I've done a lot of stuff. You've probably done a lot of stuff in your life. But nothing is worth it if it is not done for Christ. At the end, it's all going to burn unless we've done it for the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12 says this, verse 13. This is the end of the matter, all that has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And our duty is to fear God and keep His commandments. So right now, I believe the Lord is calling us to plunge in, to say 2021, we're going to go all the way and we're going to totally serve the Lord. Now, many of you here are doing that. I know that's fantastic, but I want to challenge the rest of us. Don't hold back. You know what I feel? I feel like kids on the edge of a pool or a river. Do you remember, like, some people go to the river and they kind of put their toe in and go, ooh, that's a bit cold. But I've never really been one of those. I've been the guy who wants to just, well, let's get it over with and just jump, right? But do you remember standing there with your friends and some people, oh, it's a bit cold, and you say, okay, I tell you what, how about we all jump together, okay? You remember saying that to your friends? Okay? And then you all held hands and you said, so that one wouldn't pike out, because there's always one that's going to go, yeah, and the rest go, right? So you all hold hands, so you're all committed, and you all hold hands and you go, ready, one, two, three, and off you go, and you're all plunging together. How many of you did that as kids? I believe we've got to do it as adults as well. We have the opportunity now to all join hands together and plunge into the deep with the Lord together to experience all He has for us. You see, we need to live a life for Him. I've been crucified with Christ, and I now no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so many of us live in defeat. It's time for us to join hands and dive into the deep. Now, I've done a little bit of scuba diving. Did anybody here scuba dive before? A few of you. It's an interesting experience. But I know that as you go deeper, it's more exciting and it's more dangerous all at the same time. And it exerts more pressure on you. Every 10 meters down you go is another atmosphere's pressure. It's a lot of pressure. In fact, every meter you need to blow out and even the pressure in your ears or they'll explode. So scuba diving is an interesting experience. But when you get down there, there's a rich reward. I mean, it's not like snorkeling. Snorkeling, you sit on top and you look down on things. When you scuba dive, you are in the middle of them. Whatever's going on, sharks swimming around, just really cool. How many of you like that? Okay, not many of you like that, but there's turtles and stuff like that. It's a wonderful experience. I think it's a wonderful experience. But the deeper you go, the more pressure is on you. And you'll find that with the Lord too. The deeper you go with him, the more pressure the enemy will bring on your life to try and stop you, because he's terrified that you get serious with God. He's terrified of that. See, the enemy, to win, he doesn't have to win your soul back because he's lost it. When you come to Jesus Christ, you're saved. All he has to do is neutralize you, and then you're not a threat to him at all. And I believe, I don't want a church of neutrals. I want a church of people who dive into the deep, and we serve the Lord together. Do I hear an amen to that? So I know you've heard these before, but let me reiterate these three steps that we can take right now that will help us dive into the deep end with God. Number one, prioritize reading his word. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this: the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God. I have it on an electronic device. You've probably got it in paper or on your phone. But the word of God is not just a book. It's not just a history book. It's not just a book of great wisdom and great ideas. It is the word of God. It is living and active. And the only reason it doesn't affect our life is that we don't put it into our life. We leave it sitting on the shelf collecting dust. See, it's not an ordinary book. We need to prioritize reading it, studying it, memorizing it, and most of all, obeying it and living it. That's why we have the Bible reading plan. I've been mentioning it the last few weeks. It's the start of the year. What a great time to start reading the Bible reading plan. We've got it in sheets of paper. We can give it to you. We've given it to many of you. If you haven't got it, it's on our website. It's on the app. If you have the app, you don't even have to open a Bible. You can go to the Bible reading plan every day, click one thing, and it will take you to the passage automatically. How easy is that? And what we do in the Bible reading plan is we go through the whole Bible, only reading two chapters a day, because we overlook the less exciting bits and we give you all the really thrilling bits. So it's actually a great plan of reading the Word of God. It keeps you engaged. It keeps you involved. It flits around all over the place. I'd encourage you to do it. If you're coming to Ignite, come join us. Come and join us and we'll do it together, because God will start to speak into our life. All of us together. The second thing is to prioritize meeting together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us consider how we may stir one another on toward love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. You know, so many people post-COVID are neglecting meeting together. They're just, I don't need to do that. I can watch online. I can do this. You know. Yeah, you can. But if you want to achieve anything for God in this world, you are far better off plugged into a church, even a bad church. Hopefully we're not that one. But, you know, if you plug into church, the people around you can encourage you and enable you and help you reach greater heights. So many people are neglecting it. If we dive in together, we bear fruit together, and church is the place to be. My job here at Ignite is to open a way for you to minister and bear fruit. Near as I can tell, the job of a pastor is to train and equip the saints, then let them at it. I'm not going to do everything in this place. I can't. I'm useless at half of it. And the other half I'm too busy for. But what I can do is inspire and let you follow your heart to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. If there's something specific on your heart, come and talk to myself or one of our leaders, because what we're here about is not just to play church. We want to release you into your ministry. Whatever it is God has for you, we want to help you to reach for that. We are better together. Now, the third thing we can do is to prioritize seeking God's will. So many Christians float through life. They just exist. They're living the best they can, but God doesn't want you to just muddle through until you die. He has a plan and a destiny for you. He has things for you, ministries for you, blessings for you. But to move into what the Lord has for you, you need to be the one who plunges into the deep. See, holding back, keeping your feet on the bottom and digging your little toes into the sand, that's not telling God you're all in. That's you trying to maintain control. And so many of us are like that. We need to seek God's will above our own will. Do I hear an amen to that? So many believers that I talk to, they're busy ordering God around, telling him what he needs to do for them. They don't stop and say, Lord, what can I do for you? See, if you really want to see miracles in your life, pray and ask God and let him show you. Because if he reveals something to you, particularly from his word, if it really stands out and hits you in the face from the word of God, you go, wow, that's incredible. Then you can take that to the bank. You can stand on that forever. But if you tell God what you want to have happen, oftentimes it doesn't work out. Because he has a higher way, a higher plan. We need to say to him, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus said it. We need to say the same thing. So if you really want to be used of God, plunging into the deep, getting your feet off the bottom and letting his current take you wherever he wills is the best way to go. Listen to what Joshua said to the people of Israel as they're about to move into their destiny. He said this in Joshua 22 verse 5. Only be careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him. And to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. I really feel like the Lord is saying to us to just yield our lives to him. I know that's what he's saying to me. I don't know about you, but it's like going to an Asian marketplace. You know, when we go to visit Raymond's family up there in Malaysia, we go to the markets. And there is no set price. Whatever they say, you just halve it and start there, and then you argue back and forth. Have you experienced that? That's what it's like with God. You know, that's what it's like. Lord, I really want to serve you. Okay, it'll take your whole life. Well, what can I get for this little bit? And we start to bargain with God to try and get what we want in our life, the fruit that we want in our lives at the cheapest possible price. And that's not what God's looking for. He's not looking for bargainers. What he's looking for is people who are totally committed to him. That say, I'll pay any price. It doesn't matter. So, my question to you today is, will you join me in diving into the deep? I know it's scary, but the water's fine. And I want to encourage you to just yield your life to him and give it all to him this morning. Some of you will say, look, there's not much I can do. But there is a lot you can do. Because we need people to pray. We need people to call others on the phone and encourage one another. Just a phone call or a text that will bless somebody else. Just taking a few moments of your day to pray for the things that are going on in and around our society. They're incredible ministries. Don't tell me you're too old. Doug's not here this morning, but he said, I came here to retire. Him and Lorna came here to retire. And I didn't let him. He said, you can't come to Ignite to retire. You've got to refire. It's in the name, Ignite. We're going to refire you. And he accepted that. And you would know that Doug and his wife, Lorna, before she passed, they had an incredible ministry here and blessed so many of us, didn't they? Shout out to Doug. He's probably watching this morning. But I want to encourage you. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too broken. If you're broken and if you're feeling guilt and shame, if you bring that to the Lord, you're in the perfect position. Because, you know, he puts people together that are broken. I don't know if you've seen those little bowls that the Japanese make. They're all broken and cracked and they fill the cracks with gold. That's what God does. He fills the cracks with gold because he wants the best for you and he wants you to be productive for him. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you to just join me in this prayer and just say, Lord, I want to dive into the deep. Can you say that with all your heart? Some of you are fairly new here. You're not really sure what's going on and that sort of stuff. This is not about where you're at. It's not about the church. It's about your heart. If you are totally committed to him, I guarantee you, if you stick with us, 2021 will be the greatest year of your spiritual walk. Because I believe God's going to do something amazing this year, don't you? Why don't you bow your heads and pray with me? Just take a few moments and just open your heart to Him. Why don't you just open your arms wide and say, Lord, I yield my life to You. Just do that physically. Just open your arms wide like that and say, Lord, I yield my life to You. Father, as we just yield our life to You this morning, Lord, is there anything that's holding us back, anything we're holding on to that we need to get rid of? Just take a few moments and ask God, what is it that we need to get rid of, if anything? This is between you and Him. Just ask Him now. Just give it to Him now. Lord, as You're speaking to our hearts, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your patience. We just repent of trying to do things our own way all the time. And we yield our life totally and completely to You. Say these words with me. Lord Jesus, I yield my life totally to You. You are the Lord of my life. And I will live totally for You. Lord, I pray that You would just continue to speak to us. Lord, make us get serious about coming to church and about reading the Word of God and about putting Your will before ours, because we want to be a people that make a difference in our world. Right now, Lord, You are leading our church into an incredible destiny. And we want to be a part of that, Lord God. We want to serve You with all of our heart. We want to make the world a better place for our being in it. We want to build gold, silver, and precious stones, things that really matter in eternity. So, Lord, we yield our life to You. We surrender it all to You. It's so easy to sing it. It's so hard to live it. But we surrender it all to You. Sing with me. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. Come on, sing it with me. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Hear our prayer this morning, Lord. We surrender it all to You in Jesus' name. Amen.